Welcome to the Tate Talks podcast.
This podcast has been very kindly sponsored by Jump Cloud for MSPs.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to season 6 of Tate Talks. Can you believe I'm still getting away with this? But here we are, season 6, and it kicked off with a bang. Jimmy Hatzell of, well, I'll let Jimmy explain that. Hope you enjoy. Hi, Jimmy. Thanks for joining us today on Tate Talks. We're absolutely delighted to have you, especially as you seem to be in the news a lot at the moment, the man of the moment, you could say.
Thank you, Chris. I am absolutely delighted to be on Tate Talks. It is such a pleasure to have known you over the past couple of years and now be, you know, featured on your show with my new company.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess before we get going, maybe can you tell us a little bit about yourself for those people living under a rock that haven't seen you all over LinkedIn recently? Tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you get up to? And yeah, just a bit of a bio.
Certainly. So if you haven't figured out by my accent already, I'm an American. I live in New York City. I you can think of me as the kid that grew up pirating software and music off the internet. And was the kid in the neighborhood that everyone called when they needed help with their computer. I'm sure many MSPs can relate to that. But through those years in my youth, I developed an affinity for hacking and breaking things and new technology. Went on to study cybersecurity in college and worked in IT. Had my own IT consulting shop for a bit and worked internal IT. Eventually went into cybersecurity as a core. I did make a transition at one point where I was, you know, in a technical IT and cybersecurity role into more of the go-to-market side in my days at Scout Cybersecurity, which was later acquired by Barracuda Networks. And it's still a fast-growing division inside Barracuda. There's some great people there. But at Scout, I did a lot of product marketing, did a lot of productizing for Scout for the MSP community, helped get the tech consumable for MSPs. And I just spent a lot of time talking to MSPs. That's like in like my to-do list on a day, or like where I spend my time, always it's talking to MSPs, getting direct feedback from customers. Was at Scout for a couple of years. We got acquired by Barracuda, built up a big team there, and you know, we were bringing XDR before it was cool, I guess. And then I went to a cyber QP, and you know, was one of the first hires there, and built that team up, helped bring it to MSP market and grow. And you know, we were bringing privileged access management to people before it was cool, and. You know, I saw this AI thing blowing up and I was like, man, like this is going to be huge. And I realized that small businesses needed help. And a lot of companies were trying to figure out how to apply AI to internal MSP processes and, you know, optimize their help desk. Think a ticket comes in and it automatically gets solved by AI. And that's a great problem. But there was an even bigger problem and an even bigger opportunity I saw for MSPs, where they could start serving small businesses themselves, their customers, and integrating AI into their business. So a couple months ago, decided, hey, you know, it might make sense to start a company here. And, you know, we started getting feedback from MSPs, talking to them and raised some money and just, you know, announced this thing last week.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great little bio there. So let's, before we sort of talk a bit about what's coming next, I just wanted to sort of go back a little bit earlier in your career. I mean, sure. You mentioned, I guess, like a lot of MSPs, they kind of were the neighborhood guy that knew something about computers. And so that's how you kind of got going. But then Scout was obviously a big deal. Was Scout your first exposure to the MSP community, or had you been aware of it before that?
If formal exposure, I'd say, you know, I worked in internal IT and spent a lot of time on forums and that kind of thing. Like, but I didn't really understand MSP from the community sense until I got to Scout. And, you know, I have to give credit where credit's due to Mike Hanauer, who was the CRO at Scout and had just come from a long tenure at Datto. He really gave me a crash course in MSPs and you know, the rest was history from there, but that's like where I really learned about what IT Nation is, what peer groups are, you know, the different MSP media, like Tate Talks and other sort of industry podcasts and channel news, and understood a distinct difference between the MSP channel and just general IT.
Yeah, and I know Mike as well. I worked with Mike at Datto, so obviously he knows a lot about MSP, which is really cool. And I guess you're pretty well placed then in terms of if you've worked in an end user as well and sort of working with vendors for MSPs to kind of understand what end users are probably looking for from MSPs in terms of why they need to be speaking to MSPs. And then hopefully the reverse of that is helping MSPs sort of communicate to the end users in language that they would understand.
Yeah, I think every MSP vendor should have to call an end user and convince them to restart their computer and hear the other line when they say, it's blue, it's, wait, is it? And then you say, like, is it plugged in? And then they go, oh, I think so. Actually, it's not. Like if you haven't had that core experience in your life, you're probably missing like a major part of what your customers need and what they deal with on a day-to-day.
Yeah, well, I've had many of those conversations and know exactly what you mean. It's sometimes it's sort of interesting to sort of walk in the shoes of an end user when they're trying to get support and things. We've all had it dealing with, you know, large vendors, certainly in my day in the past, where it's very, very difficult to get support. And you're starting from, you know, have you turned it on and off again? Is it plugged in? Anything? I've done all the basics and going through all of these hoops and scripts that you have to go through with some of these large vendors that sort of end users don't want to do, and MSPs don't want to do when dealing with vendors either. So it's kind of, it's to understand what their frustrations are is really useful.
Yeah. But I guess we're sitting on hold for 3 hours, you know, trying to get to an ISP or something like that.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Like, yeah.
It's like core experiences.
Yeah. Then the call gets cut off mysteriously. Yes. The minute you start to speak to someone.
So when you call up and you're like 1, 7, 2, 4, 3, operator.
Yeah, it's when you look at your phone and all you can see is a random stream of digits that you've been typing in all the way through the call. So that's leads us on to sort of the next question, really, which is may or may not be related, but it's around challenges that MSPs or vendors are seeing as we go into 24. Now, this may well be an opportunity around sort of AI that we've spoken about previously. But if not, you know, whatever, what are you, when you're speaking to MSPs, what do you think their challenges are? Or you can answer it the other way in terms of what are the challenges facing the vendors in the MSP community?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have come out of this like bull economy for a long time where people were very quickly signing contracts and spending money. And it's been a lot tougher for the past, say, 12 months, maybe a little shorter, maybe a little longer, where people are trying to pull back and really get back to the fundamentals of their business and the economics of their business. So there is a bigger focus on operational savings and operational expenses for most businesses than there was before, where many businesses would have been focused on their top line and growing their revenue as fast as possible. Examples of that are maybe it took one person to sign a contract, like a director level could sign a contract for new services or something like that. Where now in many cases it has to go up to the CFO or the CEO for signature. So the difficulty to sell is back. And not to say that it's always been easy to sell, but for an MSP to keep your business and to sell new services, you really have to be able to articulate your value proposition well and how you can contribute to operational savings and better efficiency inside of a business. So, you know, I think like AI brings a big opportunity there, and that's why it's an easier sell than cybersecurity, which, you know, we can talk about if you like. But like these macroeconomic changes, I think is the biggest difference going into 24, and we'll see where it goes. You know, maybe the global economy, you know, recovers fast, or maybe it gets, you know, goes straight down. I don't know. I'm not a If I did, we wouldn't be talking. I'd be sitting in a trading room, you know, shorting or buying. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, AI is interesting because it's one of those topics that you know we can't is everywhere. I mean, I'm maybe a little bit sort of behind the curve on this a little. I mean, I use ChatGPT to help with sort of blog content and agenda setting and all that kind of stuff, and I use Bard a little for the same thing. But I'm just kind of just trying one against the other. But I mean, where do you see you have obviously identified that AI is a huge opportunity for MSPs, which is why you're kind of proactively doing something about it. But I mean, if I was put myself in an MSP's shoes here and I was speaking, I wasn't, you know, overly familiar with, well, familiar with AI, but didn't really know what to do with it. I mean, what kind of advice or what do you think is going to AI is going to help transform within the MSP space?
Sure. When you look at global technology adoption, so maybe the movement to the cloud or cybersecurity really took 5 to 10 years to get where it is today. And what I mean by that is say an MSP was charging £100 for their IT services per user per month, and then over the 5 years they're able to add £50 for cybersecurity services. And it took a long time because it's a lot of pitching, a lot of explaining the ROI, all that. AI, I think, is going to happen a lot faster because it's a lot easier of a sell. You're going into a business and you're saying, hey, here's how we can save operationally. Here's how we can 10x your employees. And it's like looking at magic when they see it typing content that took them weeks or months to prepare before across multiple employees. So it's not the same as, hey, we're going to take your Exchange server out of this server rack and move you to Office 365, and it's going to cost you, $100,000 to do it. It's like, we're going to transform your entire business, and the 5 employees that you have right now are going to be 10 times more productive, and it's only going to cost you, $50 a month per user. So that is like the key reason why I think the adoption is going to happen way faster than anyone is prepared for, in the ease to sell this technology. But small businesses need help. Like they aren't going to be able to figure it out themselves. I think in the short term, MSPs are going to be in the prompt engineering business, where part of their managed services is helping small businesses, get the AI to do what they needed to do. And we're trying to enable that. We're giving MSPs a platform where they can all become prompt engineers for their customers and publish applications that are based on that, and the end user is super foolproof and, point and click, yes or no. And the prompt is done at the MSP level in many cases. And that's sort of like the short-term opportunity to get adoption. In the long term, I think many small businesses will be hosting their own LLMs or large language models that are trained specifically on their business. They may be hosted actually by the MSP or in the cloud in most cases, but if you're there's going to be a lot of regulated industries who want to use LLMs. Like take for example, if someone has a government contract and is writing a code, they probably can't use many of the AI co-pilot softwares for writing code. So it would be in the interest of an organization like that to have their own LLM that's managed in their own private cloud or in their MSP's cloud, or even in a data center somewhere or on a rack, and the MSP train that so it's used to their naming conventions and the way they write code and the applications they're writing, and that's going to be very valuable protected IP that people would want to own on their own server. So that's like a little down the line, like think about where it's going, and writing code is a good example because people adopt to that quicker, but you can do it with every sort of business out there, like anything. If you're creating your own AI, you want to protect that and the security of it because it's your intellectual property. So I think that there's a lot of like long tail business opportunity for MSPs in bringing that to the SMB market and the lower mid market, and then also maintaining it, because what is it? getting data ready, maintaining hardware, securing networking, configuring settings, and supporting users. Things MSPs already know how to do. So MSPs are positioned well to support the long tail of like the AI adoption. And if every small business needed a large language model, I think it's just going to take some time to get there.
Yeah, well, just as you were saying that, I was thinking about the sort of previous sort of shifts in IT. And you mentioned one of them, the sort of move to the cloud, which was effectively taking the example you used, an on-premise Exchange server, and moving that to Office 365 or something. And this is, I guess, a question around the industry's capacity to deliver this, because what we're talking about is that transition made sense, right? I mean, these are generally technically founded businesses that probably understood an Exchange server sat here and moving it to the cloud, which is straightforward. What you're talking about, which is, I totally agree with, by the way, but is around sort of business transformation and doing that. I mean, do you think that MSPs currently have got the kind of skill set or mindset to do that when going into clients, or are they still in a kind of speeds, feeds, megabytes, and or a certain like security? I mean, MSPs get security and MSPs get keeping the email going and all the things MSPs need to do. But do they kind of get the business transformation piece?
Well, I think one of the core components of moving from a break-fix model to an MSP model is being that trusted advisor and being, you know, the head of business transformation and technology for their customers. And I think many MSPs follow a VCIO model. They do quarterly business reviews and they, you know, have these conversations with CEOs. So maybe there's a gap in the market where, you know, some MSPs are still stuck in like, let's get this, you know, very, very, get super technical, and we do, you know, do it. And there's probably some overlap with MSPs like that, that are doing a lot of project work and maybe have a lot of, like line item bills versus all in, or understandardized stacks, or other practices that, and I'm not saying that's the wrong way to do it. You can make a lot of money doing that. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the MSP model that people strive for, if you go on this MSP conference circuit or you go to the peer groups, is much more like get a set price, don't itemize your bills, be a trusted advisor in IT, you know, have regular meetings with your customers, talk to them, show them what's new in technology, show them how they can do it in their business. And as, you know, shadow IT and SaaS applications have been, you know, being a lot easier to manage. And by the way, there's a huge identity problem with that. And people don't know what applications people are using. That's a separate issue. It's become more of an adapt or die scenario for many MSPs, where, you know, you may have made you know, some margin selling Office 365 licenses in the past, or I'm using that as an example, but some other technology, but now you're making your margin in making sure it's configured properly, making sure they have the right thing, making sure that Office 365 is the right thing for them to buy in the first place. So the short answer to your question is yes, I think MSPs are equipped for this conversation. Maybe some aren't, but the industry has been trending towards this direction over the past couple of years.
Yeah, that all makes sense. And I think that one of the things that, well, I guess if you humor me a little, I'm just trying to think, if I have a conversation, it reminds me a little of cybersecurity a few years ago, where it was very much, you spoke to an MSP who spoke to a small to medium business, and they were like, well, we don't need to do this because cybersecurity, the cyber threats, they're going after the universities, the government, the schools, the kind of mega corporations. They're not going to bother with my sort of real estate office or whatever. And obviously that's proven not to be true. And I think that that's now kind of, you know, everyone's aware that cybersecurity is really important for every sized business. Yeah. But I guess if I were running a small business, let's say a small legal office, for example, and my MSP came to me and said, well, we've got this LLM and we've got this AI, Do you think there's a similar thing that at the minute these guys are going to think, well, AI is for the big guys. That's not for us. We don't see how that's going to help us in our law firm, for example.
I think initially, yes, but it's easier to see because it's a show, don't tell. Security is, I promise you, you'll get hacked if you don't do this. And then what happens when somebody gets hacked? They buy their security services. If you show a law firm, hey, here is we put 100 of your documents in a vector database and you can ask this AI questions and it references the documents and tells you how you should draft it. And they're looking at it on their screen, like they're going to adopt it. It's a whole separate conversation. And maybe that's like legal offices may take a little longer. There's some really cool AI startups on legal, like, for example, redlining of contracts has been fully adopted to AI. And I know some law firms that already have their own LLMs. But take the other example you gave, real estate. Say you have a real estate office in the UK, and I know there's lots of turnover in real estate, and sometimes the for apartments and houses, the descriptions aren't that great, and you know, it's like there's a sales problem, and half the time is scheduling meetings. Say another real estate office pops up, and they're using AI to schedule all of their meetings, to write all of their descriptions, to look at the pictures of the flats and describe them in a way that makes sense. And they're doing better output with two people from what this large real estate firm who's, has 25 people and they're constantly turning over and they're spending money on recruiting and training. I think people are going to make changes very quick because that stuff's going to happen. And it already is happening.
Yeah, and I think that's going to be the key to it, is that it's the seeing, I guess. And that's the same as everything. I often, if I get a bit of spare time, I open up a ChatGPT and I've got the world at my fingertips here, but I can't think, I've got the idea to think what I'm looking for or what problem I'm trying to solve. Where I guess if you go in understanding the problem, as you described, and putting a solution together, that's really cool. And I think that once MSPs can sit down in front of people and show them, it's going to, blow their minds, I suspect. So I guess that's a very good opportunity to talk about your new venture then, because at time of recording, we just heard, I think, last week or maybe even this week, it's hot off the press that you've...
One week.
Yeah.
To the hour, I think.
Oh, wow. Okay. So so tell us all about it. What is it and what are you trying to achieve with it?
Sure. So Hats AI is an AI as a service platform for MSPs. So what I'm trying to achieve with it is build one place to go where an MSP can manage all of their AI for their end users. So included in our platform is organizationally managed AI chat. You mentioned ChatGPT, but how do you do that in a multi-tenancy way for all of your customers? How do you make sure that one of your someone in HR someone in one of the companies you're managing isn't using it to write naughty stories about other employees? Like, how do you manage that and have security around it and make sure private information isn't being put in? And if it is being put in, where is that data going? Is it going to OpenAI servers and being used for training data, or is it going to being opted out of training data, being managed in a compliant way or stay in country or in region? So in addition to that, we have an AI app builder, which is a user interface for MSPs to do prompt engineering, where they can do all the hard work and figure out how to get the AI to do what it needs to do for their customers and build them specialized apps that they can that the end users can use without knowing how a prompt works or having to get the AI to do it. We're working on other things like the ability to manage your own large language models in our platform, where we can host them or the MSP can host them, and also an AI phone calling assistant where it could be a customer service agent. So if a company gets a lot of inbound calls, they need to do lots of intakes, get frequent questions. Instead of having the phone tree that we, you know, were lamenting on earlier, have a fairly smart AI that can answer many questions, get you to the right person, or even take your information down and schedule a meeting or an intake or something with you.
Wow, that sounds pretty cool and pretty ambitious. And you've got a what are the sort of timelines for this sort of happening?
Sure. So our application, our AI application builder, and our organizationally managed chat are coming out in this March. So I think we're up to 53 days or 51 days from time of recording, something like that. Maybe I'm behind a little bit, yeah, so we'll be releasing that then. And our AI calling assistant is being piloted right now, but we're targeting for GA in the summer. It's crazy. Like I call it this thing, and I can just ask it questions about life if I want, and it'll answer.
Amazing. I can't wait to see it. And I guess a lot of MSPs will be the same, which I guess is a good time to ask is how they get in contact. I know you've got a wait list or you've got sort of piloters at the minute, but if MSPs are interested, what's the best way to sort of keep in touch and see what's happening?
Yeah, so the best way is to join our wait list. You know, we're signing up new partners, we're getting people onboarded, and we're you know, there's somewhat of a hurry up and wait, because we are, you know, we need to get our product released GA before we really turn this thing up. But we are, you know, we've gotten over 100 MSPs already joined our wait list. So if you're interested in getting in, you want to add AI as a service to your business, you know, join up. We're making sure we have the capacity to serve everyone. We're making sure our product is ready properly, where everyone can go and feel confident giving it to the customers. And we're pretty confident we're going to have that in March. So we have a couple of launch partners who get first access, and they were, you know, MSPs who I know very well and backed me before we launched the company and when it was still an idea. So you know, I'm very, very thankful for them. But yeah, join on our wait list. We're sending out updates, information on how to learn about AI, how to productize AI in your own business, and just get ready for, you know, the rest of 2024. I think some MSPs are going to make a lot of money doing this.
Well, if that's not an incentive, I don't know what is. And I'll put a link to the website and everything in the description below. So if anyone sort of wants to click through and get on that wait list, I would recommend it. So, okay, let's take a step back a little from the world of MSP into your world. In terms of what do you do outside of MSPs? Are you a reader, podcast listener, a movie watcher? I'm pretty sure I know that one of the things that you like to do, well, I guess I don't know whether like is the correct word, but is running. I think you're a sort of marathon runner, that kind of thing. But so what do you do when you're not working? Accepting at the minute, I guess that's very few and far between time-wise.
Yeah. Well, let me give you a typical day. So I wake up. Sometimes I go to the gym in the morning, sometimes I won't. And I spend time with my daughter in the morning, and I get her off, and I have breakfast with her and my wife. And then I take her to daycare. And then I head up to my office, which is above my daughter's daycare. And I work through a packed schedule. And then I go pick her up and I meet my wife and I walk her home. And then I put her to bed at 8. And then I work a little bit more, I'm definitely a runner. I've done triathlons a lot in the past too, Ironman type stuff. Love snowboarding too. So if there's a storm, I'm in the Northeast here in the States. So if there's a storm, you'll catch me driving the 4 hours to go up to Vermont to catch the good snow on the weekend. Yeah, I mean, I love New York City. I love the energy here, the atmosphere. I benefit from it being a 24-hour city. So, you know, I can get all my work in during the day and spend some time with my family, and also, you know, go out for a bit and have a late dinner or you know, meet friends. But yeah, it's been a lot of work, mostly the past couple days, couple months actually, and it will be for the foreseeable future. But running, snowboarding, biking, swimming, definitely all parts of it.
Yeah, very, very active. It sounds like you've got a nice balance then currently working above the daycare and things. And I guess travel's been a big, from a work point of view, I know that your sort of travel schedule must have been pretty relentless. Is that the same now, or is that easing up, or is this the calm before the storm, I guess, that is going to ramp back up again?
We'll see. To be honest, you know, the travel was really tough the past 2 years. I think in 2022 and 2023, I probably went on about, 100 trips, altogether, like one a week, pretty much, for 2 years in a row, and had a baby, in the middle of it. And I did take a brief hiatus for a couple months. I should say that, when my daughter was born, but it was hard, you know, it was hard. I spent a lot of time on the road, went to a lot of MSP events. So, you know, for now I'm heads down working on the product and getting this thing launched, and, you know, we'll see how things go. I'll definitely be at some of the bigger MSP events this year. And you know, see if I can keep myself away from it next year. But, I do love it. I do love the travel. I love talking to people. I love seeing people. And, you know, thank God for my amazing wife, who, by the way, works full time and has an amazing job as a footwear designer, and still like makes this work with me when I'm flying in and out, and flights are canceled, and we trying to find babysitter last minute and that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, well, let's hope you get a little bit less and a bit more time to spend at home. But yeah, I mean, it's good to hear, and the fitness thing is. Yeah, he's inspiring. Like, I do see what you're getting up in the morning and running and all kinds of things, which is really cool. Right, well, on to the last question, I guess, because we're pretty much over 30 minutes now, which is what we aim for. And this is just maybe a general tip or bit of advice or something. We're speaking with MSPs now. You know MSPs, you speak to MSPs day in, day out, and you must see what successful MSPs are doing, which maybe some others aren't. So sort of what tip would you offer to MSPs to maybe help them with their business?
I would say show, don't tell, especially in the age of AI. Show, don't tell. Show how someone can transform their business using new technology, IT systems, everything, because people don't understand when you tell, which is interesting because here I am on a podcast just telling.
Yeah, I don't think anyone would notice anyone's noticed that until you pointed it out. But yes, actually, yeah, a great tip. And yeah, well, we look forward to you showing it to us when the product's ready to launch. I'm certainly keeping an eye out, and I'm really excited. And I'd hope that listeners will sort of be excited as well and register or follow you on socials and things to try and keep up to date. But good luck with it. Obviously, I'm sure it's going to be a huge success. And thanks once again for joining us on Tate Talks today. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's long overdue, actually. I've had you on my list for a long time. So it's sort of fallen at a perfect time with the launch of Hats AI. So yeah, good luck with it. And I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you, Chris. Really appreciate you having me on.
Thanks again, Jimmy, for taking the time to speak to me today. Really enjoyed it. All the best with Hats AI. I'll be putting all the details into the description below if anyone wants to check out and get on the early access program as we discussed. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Really appreciate you taking the time to do so. I'd love it if you could subscribe and spread the word about Tate Talks. Until next time, goodbye.
This podcast has been very kindly sponsored by JumpCloud for MSPs. JumpCloud for MSPs provides managed service providers a platform for delivering modern IT services that are identity-centric, cloud-native, and vendor-agnostic. Using JumpCloud's Open Directory platform, MSPs can iteratively replace point solutions by unifying device, identity, and access management. To learn more, please visit jumpcloud.com/MSP or email the team at partners@jumpcloud.com.